Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 24th. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you can stay tuned all morning long, or at least to tune in and out as your schedule permits, because I don't think you're going to want to miss much of the discussion this morning, especially if you enjoy politics and the policy issues being debated in Congress, the campaign trail, and here in the state of Wisconsin. We will talk about Senator Russ Feingold's promise to introduce measures calling for the censure of President Bush and Vice President Cheney in this first hour. We will talk with a guest who is critical of the idea to start off, and then at the last part of the program, Senator Feingold himself will call in to tell us why he's going this route. After 7, we'll hear some of the clips from last night's Democratic presidential debate where the candidates answered questions posed by citizens on YouTube. And we'll talk with a guest about how the new technology shaped this debate. After 8, Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton will join us to talk about her push to advocate for changes to combat global warming. And after 8:30, U.S. Representative Gwen Moore joins us to talk about the hike in the federal minimum wage today and other issues that she's working on in Congress. So I hope you can keep it right here and join in with your own questions all morning long. We will start with Senator Russ Feingold's call for the censure of the president, the vice president, and other administration officials. Here he is on Sunday's Meet the Press with Tim Russert.
I think we need to do something serious in terms of accountability, and that's why I will be shortly introducing censure resolutions of the president and the administration. One on their getting us into the war of Iraq in Iraq and their failure to adequately prepare our military and the misleading statements that have continued throughout the war in Iraq. And a second on this administration's outrageous attack on the rule of law, all the way from the illegal terrorist surveillance program to their attitude about torture, which we heard a little bit about today on this show. This administration has assaulted the Constitution. We need to have on the historical record some kind of indication that what has happened here is, in the words of Director McConnell, as you just quoted him, disastrous. Somehow we have to address that, and I think it's a good time to begin that process.
And we will wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We start with a guest who doesn't think much of Senator Feingold's intention to introduce these resolutions for censure. Chris Carson is co-founder and former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, formerly of the American Enterprise Institute and the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, currently an attorney practicing in the Milwaukee area. He holds an MA in National Security Studies from Georgetown University, where he was a Bradley Fellow. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, I know there's a lot to talk about here. Why don't we just start with your general reasons why you don't think that Congress should condemn or censure the Bush administration?
Well, first of all, we don't even have the actual language that Senator Feingold wants to use to censure the president. He didn't submit that yet. What we do have is just a summary and a press release and some comments from him. And the summary that he's released on July 22nd is extremely misleading. It's false in many respects and highly debatable in at the very least.
Yeah. What's misleading or highly debatable about it?
Well, first of all, he talks about how the illegal NSA warrantless wiretapping program, it wasn't illegal, first of all. FISA, he believes, is the law that should have governed, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, is the law that should have governed the NSA's terrorist surveillance program. President Bush ultimately did bring the NSA terrorist surveillance program back within FISA, essentially caving under the pressure. But he didn't need to. First of all, the Constitution allows the president as the commander-in-chief to conduct actions in wartime to protect the public. And secondly, the authorization that the Congress gave the president to go to war after September 11th, a few days after September 11th, was very broad and certainly contemplated the use of listening to the enemy. So it wasn't illegal. It's just a misleading statement.
Yeah. What about the first? There's two resolutions. The one resolution would deal with this rule of law stuff, including the warrantless wiretapping program.
Mm-hmm.
The other, he said, would deal with misconduct regarding the war in Iraq, overstating the weapons of mass destruction thing, falsely implying a relationship with al-Qaeda and links to 9/11.
I'm going to say things that the administration hasn't bothered to say that much, or only haltingly. It's simply false to say that Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. Hans Blix, in his final tour of Iraq before the war, shortly before the war, found filled chemical shells of sarin gas. We had mustard gas. The National Ground Intelligence Organization, which is a part of the Department of Defense, found over 500 chemical shells in Iraq. This is after the war. There were reference strains of biological weapons, not stockpiles, but reference strains. So it's not the case that Saddam did not have an active program. He had a secret biological, set of laboratories in the Baghdad area under the control of the Iraqi intelligence service. This was found in the Dulfa report, which was released. The Dulfa report being the most lengthy, I guess, report of Saddam's illegal programs. So it's simply not the case that Saddam was a lily white and clean when it came to weapons of mass destruction.
Let me hold you there just for the moment. We'll continue talking with Chris Carson, an attorney in the Milwaukee area, who is also the co-founder, former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, among other things. We're talking about Senator Russ Feingold's plans to introduce two resolutions calling for the censure of President Bush and Vice President Cheney over misconduct relating to the Iraq War and what Feingold considers violations of the rule of law. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Chris Carson opposes Feingold's resolutions. We wonder if you do, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Coming up, Senator Russ Feingold will join us after 6:45 to talk about his censure resolutions. And we'll also ask him why he isn't pushing for impeachment. We heard from a guest last week on Friday who admires Russ Feingold's politics for the most part, but was disappointed and upset with Feingold's statement that he would not push for impeachment. We'll ask Senator Feingold why censoring the president is more appropriate than impeachment, in his opinion, coming up later this hour. And as you heard, Kathleen Dunn will be talking with the author of a new biography of Senator Feingold after 10 o'clock this morning, so you can also join in for that. Right now, we're talking with Chris Carson, attorney, commentator, formerly with the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, the American Enterprise Institute, and the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. We're getting his take on Senator Feingold's call for censure. Chris Carson doesn't like it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. So, Chris Carson, you're telling us that you think that the reasoning that Feingold is using to justify these resolutions is false. That the claims are false. So why not debate this stuff though? Why not debate these resolutions on the Senate floor?
Sure. That's a good question. I think that there's two reasons. Number one, it's just a waste of time. It's just that the premises of his motion for censure are so misleading and incorrect that it would just be a simple waste of time for the United States Senate, the world's greatest deliberative body, to be spending time churning up about whether or not 4.5 years ago, Saddam had ties to al-Qaeda, which I, of course, believe it's amply demonstrated that he did, or weapons of mass destruction, etc., number one. And number two, the fact is that such a discussion is going to be watched by our enemies abroad very carefully. People forget that the United States is, as the indispensable nation, is watched with great scrutiny by our enemies and by our allies and our friends and those who are straddling the fence, like, for example, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and things. So we don't want to convey the impression of weakness. And one of the things that the enemy respects is strength, and unfortunately, we haven't been showing too much of that in a lot of these comments and in Congress, such as Harry Reid declaring the war to be lost, such as Senator Feingold calling to censure the president for going to war in the first place. All these things are contrary to new realities on the ground in Iraq that are not being that are apparently being ignored or are simply not looked at by the United States Congress.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Tim in Exonia is with us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I agree with Senator Feingold, and he should go a little bit further and impeach this entire administration because, like he said on Meet the Press, the entire administration has committed impeachable offenses, and that Mr. Carson said it would be a waste of time to censor the president. What I think it was more of a waste of time was when the Senate impeached Clinton back in the 90s. I'll take my comments off there.
Do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we want to debate necessarily Bill Clinton at this time, but I mean, what I think it really is important is that the Senate, the Democratic Senate leadership, is talking about the war in Iraq as in this is not our fight, according to Hillary Clinton. And Senator Robert Byrd referring this month to Iraq is at war with itself and American troops are caught in the middle. Senator Obama talking about how we're in the wrong battlefield. It's simply not the case that al-Qaeda is not in Iraq. Every news flash from Iraq, every discussion of combat in Iraq is now taking the is essentially referring to our fight against al-Qaeda. So it's simply not the case to talk about fighting out that there's a real war in Afghanistan or somewhere else, but Iraq is somehow some sort of a sideshow. That's simply not the case. The top leadership of al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden and Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri, repeatedly call Iraq the front line in their war against Western civilization. They call it the most important issue for the whole world is this Third World War. Bin Laden says it's raging in the land of the two rivers, meaning the Tigris and Euphrates. The world's millstone and pillar is in Baghdad, the capital of the caliphate. The whole world is watching this war. So I think to actually abandon this war right now, in the middle of the surge, which is working, and it's finally gotten up to strength 1 month ago, to abandon this fight now would be unprecedented in American history.
Yeah. And Feingold wants to, though, censure the president and vice president for falsely implying a relationship with al-Qaeda back then, and the links to 9/11. You mentioned in passing that the evidence that relationship was there is ample. What is that?
Well, first of all, it's not just me, but this is George Tenet, who devoted a whole chapter of his new book, that's his new biography, his autobiography, to relationship between Saddam and al-Qaeda. We have lots of documents that have come forth since the war that were uncovered in the document seizure during the takeover of Iraq in 2003. And a lot of these documents have shown beyond any reasonable doubt, and I say that as an attorney, that Saddam had a operational relationship and a supportive relationship and a training relationship, most helpfully with money, to the al-Qaeda organization and its affiliates. We have that it was a monetary gravy train stemming from the Iraqi intelligence service to bin Laden and al-Qaeda. We have evidence that there was a $300,000 cash payment made in 1998, right before al-Qaeda made its final decision to coordinate and implement the plan for 9/11 that was formulated by colleague Sheikh Mohammed. who's now in custody in Guantanamo Bay, that, of course, Russ Feingold wants to shut down. We have evidence that Bin Laden had his fighters trained at a place called Salman Pak, south of Baghdad, which is a terrorist training camp run by the Iraqi intelligence service. We have evidence that, and by the way, at Salman Pak, and I wrote about this in an article published in National Review online, and you can Google it, Bin Laden had his fighters trained there, but at Salman Pak, in south of Baghdad, during Saddam's reign, there was found by the U.S. Marines a hollowed-out jet plane on the sand, a bus, a double-decker bus, like was found destroyed in London on July 7th of 2007.
Let me get another caller in. Ray in Eau Claire.
05, I'm sorry.
Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen.
That's Joy.
The statement of Joy, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The statement about FISA, I think the attorney is familiar with the requirements for FISA, that the slightest amount of evidence presented before the granting board, the warrants board, would give the FBI permission to seek the wiretap. And the conditions were that they could begin one instantly. They did not need a warrant, so long as one was filed for within 72 hours. And if the wiretap were to be discontinued within that 72 hours, no warrant had to be sought. But the thing is that from the time that the act was imposed in 1979 through that terrible day in New York when the Twin Towers fell, more than 13,000 consecutive wiretap warrants were granted, with not one ever being refused. And all you need to do is check off in the final year, the end of the year statement presented by each of the attorney generals over that time. So with such a strong record of approval, it's beyond me why the president would want to step outside when he had every chance of full fantastic batting average, 13,000 more to zero for approvals. Why step outside?
Can I answer that?
Yes, and we only have about a minute and a half before news break.
Okay, the answer to that is that the president wanted to secure operational security for his NSA wiretap program. It was not illegal because each call was made with one half of the call overseas, so it was not listening in to Americans domestically per se. It didn't violate the law. The question is, why go outside of it? I think it was a concern that some law clerk in some FISA court might leak this program or leak some evidence to it to the New York Times, which is, of course, what ultimately happened. That's why the president had to essentially shut down the program because remove it to the confines of FISA, because the operational secrecy of it was compromised. And it's a shame, because our listening power is second to none in the world with the NSA.
We're talking with Chris Carson, who is formerly with the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, the American Enterprise Institute, and the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, an attorney currently practicing in the Milwaukee area, who is critical of Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Russ Feingold for these new censure proposals. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, July the 24th. Happy to have you with us, and hope you join in as we talk with a guest who doesn't think much of Senator Russ Feingold's intention to introduce two resolutions calling for the censure of President Bush and Vice President Cheney. We'll hear from Senator Feingold in about 10 minutes or so. He'll join us to tell us why he's pursuing this route, and we'll also have him respond to the criticism of a guest we talked to on Friday who wants Senator Feingold to push for the impeachment of President Bush, and was upset that the senator isn't going to do that. Right now, we're talking with Chris Carson, co-founder and former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, formerly with the American Enterprise Institute and the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, an attorney practicing in the Milwaukee area. He holds an MA in National Security Studies from Georgetown University, where he was a Bradley Fellow. And we welcome your input on this issue. Is a proposal to censure or condemn the Bush administration over these issues warranted or not, in your mind? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Chris Carson, before we go back to the phones, I have here that you told my producer yesterday that this is a, you know, that this is really a joke. That Feingold, this is just kind of crazy. Why do you say that? That this is a joke?
I think. Well, I said that in passing, of course. And the reason, but I think there's a lot to that. Senator Feingold knows that there aren't the votes to pass this resolution. There were not the votes to pass the resolution of censure that he tried about a year ago, anything close to it. He knows that it's not going to pass at all with any amendment whatsoever. And so it is simply political grandstanding. If it doesn't have a chance to pass, it is simply grandstanding before the public to imply that you're morally superior in some way. And I just think that's why it is simply laughable. In addition to the fact that it's actually causing harm to our cause on the ground in Iraq, to say that the war is lost, to say that we should be immediately withdrawing, is ignoring the successes on the ground in Anbar province. He's not accounting for the Anbar Awakening movement, which is that the tribal Sunni sheikhs have turned against al-Qaeda and are now fighting with the United States of America. He's ignoring the extreme drop in violence in Baghdad, in terms of the sectarian violence. He is ignoring the statistics on attacks and bombs in Diyala province. So to actually propose surrendering from an entire and leaving an entire field of battle that's never happened before in American history, I think that's very, very dangerous and also frivolous. It's just frivolity is what it is.
Our next caller is Ted in La Crosse. Hello, Ted. You're on the air.
Yeah. Excuse me. Thanks for taking my call. I disagreed with the impeachment hearings for Clinton and back in the 90s, and I disagree with this. I'm from Wisconsin, and Russ Feingold does not represent me. Totally disgusted with the guy. It angers me. Because like the guest says, is it is 100% political grandstanding. He's just going at it to the far loonies on the left. And if you're not happy with the president, I voted for this president. I support this president. And one of the reasons I voted for him was because I know when he makes a decision, he's not going to cave. And I think that's an important trait to have. And even though you disagree with it, tough luck. Vote somebody else in election time. That's the time to make change. I think it's dangerous to every time, especially with such a divided country, that the losing party of the presidential race, that you go in for impeachment or censorship. I think that's destructive to the presidency.
Yeah.
And to the whole position of president.
Yeah, Ted,
I think
no,
it can hurt future presidents.
Right, and no one's talking about removing this president from office with this
censorship.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. It means nothing. All it is he's pandering to the far left loonies out there.
Yeah, and you don't think that when Feingold says this is about holding this administration accountable, that Congress needs to formally condemn the president for the alleged misconduct that Feingold is saying here?
How about this? How about holding Congress accountable? They have a lower approval rating than the president has.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. This is a totally. And you know what, Joe? I got to tell you this. There's absolutely no way that you would even. I have to get on before Russ Feingold comes on because I know you would screen me out and you wouldn't even let me have a chance to talk to him. I've tried to get a hold in the past when you have, if it's Doyle or Feingold on, and I never get up. You never get let somebody that's harshly critical of the guy.
To speak
a voice.
That's not true. That's not
yes,
true.
Yes, it is. Well, why is it that in the past when I've tried to get on when Russ Feingold's on, I never get on? I get streamed out, and you let me wait until the end of the program, and then I get hung up on.
Well, I can't speak to your past experiences. I'm sorry if you've had those. We do not screen out calls based on political viewpoint. We don't allow personal attacks or uncivil calls, but we certainly would welcome calls from many different perspectives, from callers from many different political stripes. But in any case, that's not our topic today. Chris Carson,
sure.
You agree with Ted, I take it.
In one respect, it is political grandstanding. I may not have put it quite like that. But the thing to remember is that in Ramadi, which was the hotbed of the al-Qaeda and Sunni insurgency, in February, the terrorists were averaging 30 to 35 attacks a day. In June, that's now down to one. That was down to one a day. There were 50-day stretches where there were no attacks at all. In Anbar province, which is the large hotbed province of the Sunni insurgency, or was, the insurgent attacks were 1,300 in October and down to 225 in June. It's just extraordinary, the remarkable turnaround in Anbar province. Diyala province is experiencing the same thing, all due to the surge that everyone laughed at back in January. So I really believe that this has a chance to essentially give the Iraqi people and the Iraqi government a chance to protect themselves and secure themselves. This is a new democracy.
Yeah, the censure proposals, though, again, Chris Carson, are not calling for the immediate withdrawal of troops. This is a different issue, isn't it?
That's true, but the effect of the censure resolution would give heart to the enemy who thinks we're going to withdraw. One of the things that commanders around Iraq, American commanders, are constantly hearing from the Iraqis and from Iraqi troops is, you're going to abandon us. When are you going to leave? Are you going to leave us soon? You're going to leave us now? The Iraqi people have to choose the side, and if they feel that the side is protecting them is going to be bolting, and they hear things like the censure resolution from the Congress and being voted on up or down in Congress, when they hear those things, they think, you know, maybe we shouldn't commit ourselves to the American coalition Iraqi government side. Maybe we should allow this gang of al-Qaeda to stay in that house next door and plant roadside bombs before turning them in.
Let me get one more call before our weather break. Mike in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I respect the opinion of your guest. That's the great thing about America. Everybody has a right to their opinion. I don't agree with them, and I don't believe them, and I don't believe the administration. I haven't for a long time. It's been. But the thing that I'm hearing from him that angers me the most is these comments about people that don't agree, that have their own opinions, that want to speak out. Somehow they're weakening the war effort. Somehow they're un-American. And, we've been hearing this and hearing it and hearing it, and here's the greatest free country in the world. And it sounds to me like this guy would like to silence or lock up anybody that doesn't agree with him.
Yeah. Is that what you're trying to do,
Chris
Carson?
No, I never said silence or lock up. I never suggested that, thought it, implied it, or meant it. The most important thing is that we do have freedom of speech in this country, but we also needed it in Iraq, and there is freedom of speech in Iraq as well. But the only way to secure this is if we defeat an enemy that isn't interested in freedom of speech. Al-Qaeda is interested in destruction of the West and imposing Sharia law.
Yeah.
And we have to give our allies and ourselves a chance to defeat that enemy. Insurgencies take a long time. And the insurgency in Malaysia from 1948 to 1960 cost the British 12 years to defeat. Insurgencies all throughout history have taken much longer than this insurgency.
Well, and we'll leave it there for now. We appreciate your time. Thanks very much for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
Chris Carson, formerly with the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, the American Enterprise Institute, and Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll talk about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate featuring questions from citizens on YouTube. I thought it was pretty entertaining. We'll see what you thought and what our political analysts thought of it coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we will be welcoming in U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, who says he will introduce two resolutions calling for the censure of President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and other administration officials for misconduct relating to the war in Iraq and for violations of the rule of law, including the warrantless wiretapping program, among other things. Senator Feingold joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks very much for being with us. Why pursue this now?
Well, the Bush administration is now coming to its end, although it may seem like it's been forever to some people. The fact is that we are getting near the end of an historical period. And frankly, many people, including me, believe this is one of the worst administrations in American history. And if it was simply that, I think we could just say, fine, we'll have a new president in a little while and move on. But with regard to the entry and continuation of the war in Iraq, as well as the attack on the rule of law and the Constitution that this administration has undertaken, I believe somehow we have to act to show in the historical record that we thought this was wrong. In other words, I'm concerned that our children and grandchildren will look back and say, you got to be kidding me. All this stuff was done and Congress was silent, that there was no action. They'll ask, for example, why there wasn't an attempt to impeach. And my thought is, at a minimum, we should try to have a censure resolution indicating that we know that we've been treated terribly by this administration, that we've been subjected to incredible distortions and dishonesty, and that we've actually been subjected to an attack on our fundamental legal document, the Constitution. Something has to be done, and I consider it this a moderate course.
Yeah, why not impeachment, Senator Feingold?
Well, for the reasons that I think a lot of people have stated, which is, you know, we got a new Congress because we talked about the fact that we wanted to actually act to try to end this war in Iraq and to fix our international policies that have been screwed up since the war in Iraq was started. So that's our first priority. The other top priority is the list of domestic issues led by health care and getting us alternative energy resources. We need to make sure that these things are done, and this is what we've been focusing on. If we want the process of impeachment over the next few months, not only the House proceeding, which would take quite a bit of time, but the enormous amount of time that would be taken up in a futile effort to try to impeach Bush and Cheney and Gonzalez in the Senate, I think it would really make it very difficult for us to get those other things done that we have to get done. On the other hand, there has to be some accountability. A censure resolution is a simple, not time-consuming process that would at least have some chance of garnering support and would only require a majority vote. Impeachment in the Senate requires a two-thirds vote, and I guarantee you it is pure fantasy to think that this Congress would do that, this Senate would do this. We can't even get more than four Republicans to vote to end this incredibly unpopular war, let alone convicting the president on impeachment.
Yeah. We had a guest on Friday who was upset with you for not pushing for impeachment over what he read on your daily costs or costs diary, saying that that there is no issue that's more important than impeachment. And he was upset that you weren't going to be pursuing this and said that he wouldn't, and progressives like him wouldn't be helping you in your next election. What's your reaction to their reaction?
That's fine with me, and I agree with you. There are people that feel that way. People are absolutely passionate about the way they've been treated by this administration, and many people think impeachment is the only answer. My answer would be that the most important thing is the Constitution and having a historical record of what happened here, but that a futile effort to impeach is not better than trying to pass one of the first censure resolution against the president since the 1830s. I think that would be a very historic and significant event. But, you know, the easiest thing for me to do here is just be silent on this, not talk about impeachment because, you know, as a senator, it's not my role anyway. I could just not deal with this because people get mad from the conservative side. You know, I could just be quiet and everything would be fine. I could put out my press releases about all the things that I'm working on for Wisconsin, which I'm very proud of. But, you know, I have this odd notion, Joy, that my job is to try to solve problems and to try to sort of, you know, do something that will actually fix things for the future so that people can look back and say, look, they didn't impeach the president, but they did do something. And so I'm offering this as a practical, moderate solution. And if people aren't comfortable with supporting me by my doing that, so be it. I'm also comfortable with that.
To those like Senator Mitch McConnell saying that this is a political grandstanding
right.
and a gimmick, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, to me, the gimmick is people standing in the Senate knowing that this war in Iraq was a fraud in the first place, that people, our people are dying over there in a situation that doesn't make sense, and they just keep using slogans. They say this all-night thing we did the other night when we're trying to draw attention to this is a gimmick. It's all just political punditry. What I am trying to do is look at how people will view this in 30, 40, or 50 years. Now, I think that's something a senator is supposed to do. He's supposed to say, how will people regard us in the future? And I guarantee you, it is not a stunt or anything other than my sincere conviction that this administration has been lawless, that this administration has lied repeatedly to the American people. We all know they did. What are we going to do? Are we just going to sit around like mice and say, well, that's okay if the administration lies to us and makes up stuff and doesn't get, there are no consequences? You know, I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin. In Janesville, we say, hey, somebody's got to pay for this. Somebody has to pay in some way for this outrageous conduct. And the time has come, near the waning months of the Bush administration, for us to reflect our displeasure on the record with what has been done.
Yeah, our guest who we just talked to, Chris Carson of Milwaukee, says that he opposes your efforts because he disputes that things like the warrantless wiretapping program were illegal, and he disputes the claim that you're using in the resolution regarding no weapons of mass destruction and other things. You want to just address that briefly? He's saying that
sure.
The claims you're making aren't true.
Well, I'm happy to submit that to any reasonable group of impartial judges, whether it be lawyers or anybody else. Anybody who in their right mind believes that this weapons of mass destruction thing was actually true simply doesn't care about the facts or the truth. Of course, everybody knows that this was a fraud and that it did not occur. On the warrantless wiretapping, I've studied this extensively. Essentially, every legal scholar says that the president cannot simply make up his own law in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And in fact, the administration has now taken that program and brought it back within the statute because they know that they can't really, they don't have a leg to stand on. So everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but on these two, frankly, there are close calls sometimes. On these two, it's not even remotely close.
Yeah, I understand you're looking for input on your censure resolutions.
Yes, I've gotten thousands of responses on our blogs and from emails and from our web and from fellow senators. I assure you we've gotten a lot more interest from other senators already expressed than we did the first time I proposed censure with regard just to the warrantless wiretapping. There's a lot of feeling out there, and of course your people calling for impeachment are a sign of it, that something has to be done. And it is really becoming much more intense, and this is one of the reasons that I simply came up with this idea last Thursday. I wasn't sort of planning it over time. I was struggling with the question of how do you have accountability for these awful actions without completely disrupting the things we need to get done, and that's what led to this idea.
Yeah, I know that you have to go, but I think we have Eric in Schofield who wants to say something. Hi, Eric.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to lend my voice of support to the thousands of voices that you're hearing already. I've voted for you every time you've come up for any election, and we'll continue to vote for you because I think that you've got one of the few voices of reason in American politics today. You stand up for what you believe in, whether it's popular or not, and there's not nearly enough of that going on. You don't resort to the name-calling and the political grandstanding that people are accusing you of. You're doing the right thing. You're standing up and saying what needs to be said, and I want to commend you for it, and I hope you keep doing it.
Well, we gave you a tough question there, Senator.
That was brutal, but I want to tell you something. It was very helpful. It's encouraging. You know, I am merely a product of the way people in Wisconsin talk to me and treat me. That gentleman's remarks are what it's all about in Wisconsin. We are a community. We are people who believe in talking to each other and being civil about these matters, and we respect it if somebody comes up with something that might be a little on the edge or might be a little different. We don't want pure conformity. I came up with this idea to try to solve a series of tensions from the right to the left that somehow needs a resolution, even though it's like, you know, touching a third rail of politics, if you will. But, you know, I believe people in Wisconsin respect that, want that from their senator, and I hope they'll take a look at this idea as we discuss it over the next few weeks.
Did you get a chance to read your biography? We have the author on with Kathleen Dunn after 10 o'clock.
I did. It was a very nice book. The only problem was I knew the ending. So,
well, you're giving it a rave review, then, I take it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Bye-bye.
That's right. You can talk with the biographer of Russ Feingold's new biography, Feingold, A New Democratic Party, after 10 o'clock this morning with Kathleen Dunn. And we thank Senator Feingold for being with us, talking with us about why he is going to introduce two resolutions calling for the censure of President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and other Bush administration officials. Thanks very much to, this was a group effort. We want to thank Leo Duran and Karen Prager and Christina Taylor for producing this hour, and we want to thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.